You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I am your host and moderator, Joe Morkel. With me, as always, the Charlie and Grandpa Joe to my Willy Wonka, Sean Keller.
I never thought that I could be anything but catastrophe.
And Mike Pareto.
Suddenly... Oh.
I've got a golden ticket. Hi.
I knew that was going to go well. This is A Little Nonsense. America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. America, we have a choice to make this November, America. What America needs, America, is an independent candidate who's not afraid to buck the system. Peter Tinkle is the genius inventor and self-help guru who revolutionized the world with his book, Maximizing Your Personal Health Through Rigorously Scheduled Bowel Movements. And he's running for president of the United States of America, America. Peter Tinkle believes in America, America. He supports the nationwide decriminalization of dueling to the death. He believes that the public has a right to know about the evidence of extraterrestrials hidden within Area 51 and the much lesser known Area 52. Peter Tinkle also believes that it's that bitch Kathy in HR who's stealing your Greek yogurt out of the break room fridge, Teresa. Peter Tinkle believes in you, Teresa. America. This November, vote Peter Tinkle. Paid for by Tinkle on America.
America. I mean, why not?
Sure. I like that name. I like the sound of President Tinkle.
Shut that fucking bird up.
He's the bird is all the way across the house.
Take it and smash
Sean,
its
go
face.
Go cover the bird. Go cover the bird and smash its face.
Take that bird and put it over some kind of grate
fire
and smash its face into spaghetti.
And then cook it.
Just go throw a sheet
feed it to the neighbors.
Throw a sheet over the bird, Sean.
All right. Give me a second. I'm gonna off this bird.
Sean is blanching the bird's beak.
Which is what you want if you want to get a soft but al dente beak.
I can't imagine there's anything other than, at the very best, an al dente beak.
Yeah, I mean, your beak is going to have some bite to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tough. As birds use it to crack open walnuts.
All right, I'm back.
Welcome.
We just decided that our pet cockatiel is now an outdoor bird.
let's leave it at that.
just put the whole cage outside, so she'll be fine.
Just a tropical bird. Outdoors, 30 degree weather.
Oh God, that's funny. All right.
I want to make a correction. I never thought that life could be anything but catastrophe. But suddenly I've begun to see.
I think you did
a little good luck for me.
You did Christopher Lloyd as Grandpa Joe.
I never thought that life could be anything but catastrophe.
I think Tim Burton missed an opportunity there.
Suddenly I've begun to see a little good luck for me, Marty.
All right, yes. Okay, so you didn't quite do Christopher Lloyd the first
no,
time.
No, I was doing Grandpa Joe.
Grandpa right. Joe, Charlie,
I can walk. I'm a huge asshole who just stayed in bed when I can walk and dance this whole time. But when you got free tickets to a chocolate factory.
Muscular atrophy.
Free tickets to a chocolate factory.
I actually get up and walk around every time you leave the room. That's why I don't have atrophy.
This is just so you'll do stuff for us.
We do, all six of us sweat to the oldies whenever you go to school.
A doctor calling genitals by their slang term is like one of the funnier things that I can imagine.
Well, I've scoped out your pussy and looks looks normal.
How about a health instructor at elementary school or high school, I guess. All right, well, see, the man pushes his dick inside the woman's pussy.
Sex ed class. The male genitalia is called the cock and balls.
You see, this part here is the cock, and these, of course, are the balls.
Just behind the balls is your taint, which is connected to your asshole.
I'm so sorry, students. This is Joe. He's our student teacher this year.
Hey. What's up, kids?
Actually, wait. That's not our student teacher. Who are you?
The guy who locked the student teacher in the janitor's closet.
Now let's hear more about this taint.
I huffed a bunch of the chemicals in that closet before I came in here. I am ready to party. Ain't no party like a taint party.
Speaking of party, look here at this diagram of a dick going inside of a pussy.
Oh, yeah, that's hot.
This is the pussy, and this is the pooper, as I like to call it.
See, this here is the asshole. You shit out of your asshole.
But many of you probably already know this.
And you get fucked in your pussy. Sometimes you push babies out of it.
And sometimes, kids, you get fucked in your asshole. But only on your birthday.
Now,
if you're lucky.
Now, this is what we call a prolapsed rectum.
Oh, God.
Take a look at these next four slides.
That's when your asshole pink socks, boys and girls.
What? You have an ass
dick. You ever been to an airport and seen those wind socks flapping on the roof? That's what your butthole does.
You ever see a science fiction movie where someone sucked out the airlock and their bodies turned inside out? It doesn't actually happen in space, but
that's
what a prolapsed
asshole
looks like.
It's kind of like that stress toy. That's like try to hold it in your hand and it slips through. You know what I'm talking about?
Water worm. Yeah.
It's a tube. Yeah, a water worm. It's like that, only it's your asshole.
That's got to be painful, right?
Excruciating,
oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I just imagine that's not a good time.
Did you know that, honestly, no joke, that anal reconstruction is one of the biggest growing surgeries because of the the increasing frequency of anal sex.
Thanks to porn, for sure.
Thanks to porn. And they're prolapsing their poopers. Then they have to get reconstructed.
God, that just sounds so awful.
Yeah, the anal prosthetic is actually like the fastest growing prosthetic implant on the market currently.
Well, boys, I know what business I'm getting into.
You'll make a mint.
I'm going to reconstruct people's assholes.
I'm going to make plastic poopers.
What a weird... So, what do you do for a living? Oh, I reconstruct people's assholes.
Well, colorectal surgery, you know, is kind of a big deal. It's
colorectal?
I think that's what it's called.
It's when the surgery's in color.
That was terrible.
I know, I'm sorry. So bad.
We expect that from me.
Did I mention it's another NyQuil evening?
You did not.
Are you still exciting, not are you still not feeling well, Joe?
I'm still not great.
Was it last week or the week ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago that we first talked about how you were sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're still sick.
That is correct.
I mean,
God,
probably going to die.
I mean, the improvement is I don't have like dangerously high fevers anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that is good. They can't have been all that dangerous because you're still alive and it's been weeks now.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I had one night and a day in the 103 point whatever range. And then I went, you know, and sought medical attention.
I actually saw today somewhere that the average body temperature is no longer 98.6. It's lower than that now.
Really?
So you were even sicker before than you thought.
Can you explain that?
I didn't read the article, so no.
How much lower are we talking? Is it like 98.5? Like,
47. I think it's like 72 degrees. let's see. Let me look it up here. Core temperature went down. No, that just talks about like hypothermia. Average core temp. All right, yeah, here we go. It's on Vox.com. That's a VOX. Researchers aren't sure why. That's not a good sign.
Why would...
So it looks like the average body temperature is now 97.88.
That is a significant drop.
98.6 to 97.8. Yeah, it's almost a full degree.
That's like a... Yeah, that's huge. It's a question of like... Maybe we were measuring it poorly before? Could be.
I don't know.
That seems to be the most likely, because I can't imagine that we've evolved in the last generation. all of us at the same time. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
That does seem unlikely.
It says the findings, let's see. It says the, how can the average human body temperature be changing? It's not that the human form is radically changing. If anything, it might be a sign that we're collectively growing healthier. So there's a possibility.
Oh, actually, that does make sense.
My current state begs to differ.
Yeah, except for Joe, it says here.
So they're saying that we're less often deploying our immune systems because...
Right, because we're generally healthier. That makes sense.
That could make sense.
But so does that mean that like your real healthy state is like, you know, 96 degrees, but because people get sick from time to time, it jumps it up to 98.6?
Well, that's a good question. My temperature is usually in the 97 range. It's usually like 97.2. Hmm. So that's possible.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. And Joe's is 400 right now. So really tipping that average.
Well, thanks a lot, you know, Joe. I took some NyQuil about 15 minutes ago, but let's see what my current temperature is anyway.
Zip. we know where you're putting that thing.
I'm in the low grade range, 100.8.
My God. You guys remember when I came back from Costa Rica and I had an inexplicable fever for a month?
Yeah.
It was a low grade fever. It was like that. It was like 100.
Did I forget to tell you guys I just went to Costa Rica?
But your body was definitely fighting off some weird Costa Rican virus, right?
Yeah, the doctor ended up like trying to send me to infectious disease department or whatever,
the CDC.
They tried to send you to house.
Can you just give me some kind of like general antibiotic?
And she's not if it's a virus.
Yeah, well, it seemed unlikely at this point that it was. So she
not
gave
if it's
me
a huge worm that crawled in your asshole and it's infecting you. A Costa Rican death worm, ass worm, Costa Rican ass worm.
Whatever the case, I got something nasty in Costa Rica and it made me feel just kind of like 70% normal for a month.
That's kind of where I'm hovering.
Yeah.
Like 70% okay.
Yeah, and my fever was about the same.
All right. So it makes sense. Despite having never been to the country, I have a Costa Rican ass worm.
Otherwise known as a craw.
That's what the Costa Rican ass worm is called.
it's a Costa Rican ass worm.
It's an acronym.
It's a crow.
Oh, that's a lovely acronym. Well done, Sean.
Thanks. I was trying to figure out a way to make it a cram, because that's funnier, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
Costa Rican
ass maggot.
Oh, cram. I got a cram up my ass.
Named, of course, for the acronym, and also how it gets into your system. It crams itself through the urethra.
Yeah, you notice.
By way of anal sex.
With the worm.
With a giant worm's penis.
People are infected via consensual intercourse.
With giant worms.
That makes all sorts of sense.
Well, it's not always consensual.
Oh, no.
Sometimes people are... you're crossing a line, Mike.
Good Lord.
Sometimes people are raped by giant worms in Costa Rica. It happens.
I never saw Tremors 5, but I imagine that's how it goes down.
I think that's when Kevin Bacon stopped doing them.
I think he stopped doing them after the first one, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know. I have never seen a single Tremors film.
The first one's really good. It's really a lot of fun.
Think I saw part of the first one.
I was talking to a couple of friends of mine about how badly they fucked up the whole premise. It's a fun premise, right? It's like, basically, it's the floor is lava. It's like, if you step on the ground, then these worms can sense the vibrations and know where you are. So it's like a game of Marco Polo on, the floor is lava. So
the floor
every
is
movie,
lava, the movie.
Yeah, so every movie, just put it in a different, interesting environment, like an amusement park where people are on different rides and stuff, and maybe they touch the ground sometimes, or put it on an actual volcano where the floor is actually lava. all you have to do for a new movie, set it on the moon, where they jump up in the air and there's less gravity, so they're up there longer and the worm's looking around for them, and then they hop back down, It could have been a lot of fun, I think, if they would have explored that part of it.
Instead of it's just always the desert every time.
Yeah, apparently these worms are just in Arizona. Just stay out of Arizona.
That's good advice in general.
Oh, we have any listeners there, Joe?
We
you
don't.
Wanna consult? Fuck Arizona.
Fuck Arizona.
I mean, at the time of this recording, we don't. If you're a future Arizona listener, welcome. But at the moment, sorry, fuck your state.
All are welcome here. Yeah, we love Arizonians. Arizonians?
We love the ones that possibly listen to this show in the future.
Yes, but the state of Arizona can go fuck itself.
Yes.
Just the geographic, the landmass of Arizona.
Arizona.
Where these tremors reside. Someone's going to write into the mail hole, Tremors was in New Mexico, you fucking idiots.
I mean, that...
I love Arizona.
It'd be nice to get something in the mail hole.
Yeah, it would.
Even if it's telling us that we suck and are shit, at least they're talking to us.
Everybody loves New Mexico now because of Breaking Bad, right? It's like everybody wants to move there.
Yeah, I've never seen Breaking Bad, so fuck New Mexico.
Fuck New Mexico.
Burke and Bird. You guys talking about Burke and Bird?
Birder Curl Searle.
So stupid.
So dumb.
There's a girl. I think it's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Okay.
Jesus. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. But it was nothing to me but blinding.
Is that an actual line from the movie? I don't remember
that.
The
shadows betray you because they belong to me.
Yeah, those are actual lines.
Those are real lines.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interesting choice, that voice.
I think the word you're looking for is... bad choice. Hey, I got this huge, physically imposing dude.
Yeah,
let me make him sound like an old man.
An old man talking through a drive-thru.
Yes.
It was the same mistake they made with General Grievous.
I'll have a number four.
And they're not even the same people.
The prune juice, please.
But you know what I'm talking about. General Grievous could have been super awesome, right? Like, he was a cool concept for a villain. And then he's like,
I sound like Joe on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got the General Grievous Saw Gerrera thing going.
Did they send you to kill me? There's not much left.
We need to make a list of the worst voice choices in cinematic history. Yeah,
by great actors, especially.
Well, I was going to say Jar Jar until you said great actors.
I'm definitely shoehorning Christian Bale's Batman into this.
There you go. That's a great one.
Yeah. Joe, what are you talking about? Swear to me. Do I look like a cop?
So Batman's got two of them already.
That series is not good for voice work.
There's a movie. Do you guys have we talked about this? There's some movie from the 90s where Gary Oldman, who's in the Batman trilogy, Nolan's trilogy, Gary Oldman plays
really
a little person.
What?
You don't know this? There's a movie where Gary Oldman plays a little person.
Wow, like, he can play any role.
And he walks on his knees the whole movie?
No, but he doesn't.
Yes? Doesn't John Leguizamo do that in Moulin Rouge? Come on.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Oh, okay, the movie is called Tiptoes.
Okay, that makes it much worse.
And get this, Peter Dinklage is in the movie with him.
Oh my god.
Oh no, it gets worse. Oh no. This wasn't the 90s. This was 2003.
Yeah. It stars Gary Oldman, Kate Beckinsale, Patricia Arquette, Matthew McConaughey, and Peter Dinklage.
So now people are probably wondering why they didn't just cast Peter Dinklage in the role of Gary Oldman's little person.
The trailer for the movie, it like gives you the story and then starts listing the cast. And then at the end of the trailer, it says, and Gary Oldman in the role of a lifetime.
Yes, a role he regrets deeply, I'm sure.
Yeah, hindsight and all that. Ooh. I want him to win an Oscar now in the next 5 years and be like, I really owe all of this to the experience I had on the film Tiptoes.
It is kind of shitty now that I think about it that John Leguizamo portrayed Toulouse-Lautrec. Like, what does that make any sense at all?
No, I mean, he's a name.
But it didn't make sense for him to play Luigi either.
Well, that movie, he's like, the casting he's like, was the least.
Puerto Rican, isn't he? John Leguizamo? What is he?
He's something weird. What is that? I think that's Italian.
I don't think weird is the word, Sean.
If he's Italian, then he's fine for Luigi, right?
He is Amerindian and mestizo.
Yeah,
that's how he's described himself.
So he's probably Mexican.
But it says...
no, he's born in
Puerto
Colombia.
Rican. Oh, yeah, Colombian, yeah. And not Puerto Rican. There we go.
His paternal grandfather was of Italian and Puerto Rican descent.
Oh, see, there's some Italian there.
And his maternal grandmother was Lebanese.
He didn't work as Luigi.
That was not the only problem with that movie,
It wasn't, but it was one of them.
I don't know that it was. I feel like that would have been fine if anything else in the movie would have worked.
The only thing in that movie that worked was Bob Hoskins as Mario.
Agreed.
Yeah, it should have been John Turturro. John Turturro as Luigi.
That would have been pretty amazing. Been better,
seeing that he's actually tall and thin and all that.
And Italian.
Everyone is weird turtle dinosaurs.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with that movie. That it's nothing like Mario is one of them.
That is one of the major problems. That it has absolutely nothing to do with the Super Mario video games is a problem with the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I guess they're making a Mario theme park in Orlando.
Really? Oh, that's right. I actually saw that. I saw something about their urinals look like the power plants or the whatever plants, the red.
The piranha.
Fire plants. Flowers?
Piranha. Piranha is what I meant.
I think they're called piranha plants.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they are.
They are.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. I don't want to pee into one of those.
That's you what, don't. Yeah, that's the meme that I saw circulating was like, it's oh, yeah, pee in our mouths. It just looks like you're peeing into a
especially
piranha plant
if they now. Put like a tongue in it.
Well, see, I'm now just I'm just getting erect.
Joe can only get so hard.
You're taking what little blood there is in my brain away.
They put they put little piranha boobs under it.
good lord.
All right, now we've ventured Rule 34 territory.
The rest of this episode will be exploring Rule 34.
I guarantee you don't have to Google that to know that that's a thing already.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of those things you just know is out there.
I'm trying to find some weird movie voices. There's got to be way more examples than we thought of.
It's horrible choices.
How about the, I guess that was more, I was going to say the mouth of Sauron, but everything about that dude is awesome.
I love that dude.
But the way he like smiles and hams for the camera. He suffered greatly.
The makeup for that character and the way that they chose to like frame his mouth. So that it looked so much bigger was so great.
They altered it digitally, I found out. They actually like increased it by like 15% or something, the size of the dude's mouth.
That didn't make it into the theatrical cut. So there you go. Oh, Joe ended up doing some research on...
What?
He did some Rule 34 research here and
found... Let's see. Oh, boy. That's a picture.
Yeah, those are definitely slightly anthropomorphized lesbian piranha plants.
Their tongues are shaking hands.
Yeah, they're fully anthropomorphized. They've got nipples.
They do have nipples.
Big juicy green nipples.
Hey, I've got another weird voice that I just remembered. How about Joseph Gordon-Levitt in The Last Jedi?
Oh yeah.
Hey, you can't park there.
Well, he's only capable of doing his voice and that voice, so...
They went that way!
Yeah, that was not a great decision.
Oh, that's a terrible voice.
What about characters who were just absolutely perfectly nailed by the performer? Like extreme characters that might have normally been a voiceover, but were just like perfectly executed. The first one that comes to mind, is Kelsey Grammer as the Beast.
Oh yes,
like could there have been casting a better choice for the Beast?
Wasn't that something? I feel like that had to have been something similar to Sam Jackson as Nick Fury, where the artists were just like, "I'm going to draw the Beast as if it's Kelsey Grammer, like a buff Kelsey Grammer."
Exactly. Yes, it was perfect.
And he was like, "You're going to pay me how much? I'll do it." What color now? I'm sorry, how much are you paying me?
I was just rewatching some of The Next Generation recently because ahead of the Picard premiere, which we're going to be watching shortly. Mm. And one of the episodes I watched was Cause and Effect, just because I liked that episode a lot. And sure. Kelsey Grammer's in that episode for the last 30 seconds of the episode. He's Captain Morgan Bateman of the USS Bozeman.
Does he have his leg propped up on something in a kneeling position?
I couldn't help but think, man, yeah, exactly, yes, Captain Morgan.
Captain Morgan.
I couldn't help but think, my God, I'd love to see more of Captain Bateman of the USS Bozeman. That'd be a badass show. I'd love to watch that.
Kelsey Grammer would be a fine captain in that universe. Well,
in fact, they ended up reusing the USS Bozeman in a number of subsequent episodes and even movies, suggesting that Captain Bateman, 90 years from the past, was a successful captain even in the 24th century.
Kelsey Grammer just has that gravitas, just like Patrick Stewart does. And it's partly the voice And there's just, there's a formality to the voice, a gravitas that is just, it says, you're the captain, you are refined and intelligent and wise, you know?
Yeah, he makes a perfect Star Trek captain, so.
He's also like vaguely British, Kelsey Grammer. Like
he's
not British though, right?
He's kind of he's kind of like
he's a fairy.
He's like Cary Grant British,
right? He just decided he's going to talk with a very particular way, in a particular way.
It's although very I think formal. Cary Grant, I think technically is British.
but didn't Cary Grant talk like this?
Or am it I sounds thinking like of Charlton someone else? Heston.
Charlton Heston was down here, wasn't he?
Yeah, but you still had the cadence.
Oh, sorry. I don't know who I was thinking of when I was up here.
Yeah, it looks like Cary Grant was actually born in England, so that doesn't work.
But Kelsey Grammer was born in, like, Jersey, wasn't he?
he's just very fancy.
He's got very a fancy
voice. Yeah.
He's got the fancy voice.
I wonder what he's up to these days.
Yeah, he was born in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Well, I wouldn't have guessed that.
No.
Nice.
You say nice.
Just like Alexander Hamilton.
For God's sakes, Niles.
Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, I mean, come on. That dude is trying so hard to be British.
Honestly, I feel like he's succeeding, and they should just grant him citizenship.
They grant him knighthood.
Sir Kelsey of Grammar.
Well, it is a great honor for me to accept this knighthood into your country.
It's actually somewhat ironic that his last name is misspelled. If it were, if you're crossing it with grammar, you got.
Yeah, I could only ring the bell so many times in an episode. Alrighty.
I mean, I just want to talk some more about Kelsey Grammer.
All right.
There'll be a time and a place. And that time's now. So what do you want to talk about Kelsey Grammer? I'm really excited for our segment this week. Because we're going to be recapping a recent event. But before we get into what that event was, Sean, what is this recap brought to us by?
Thanks, Joe. It's brought to us by Gorlath's Million Dollar Sweepstakes.
Do you wish you had $1 million? Well, now you can. What? Go to the intersection of Grinstead and Oak when the sun is low. Follow the dirt trail until you reach the great rock. There is a cave. Enter it and receive $1 million. I, Gorlath, a human, will hand it to you with my human hands. Gorlath Million Money Sweepstakes. I am not a giant spider.
Back to you, Joe.
Thanks, Sean.
I guess he's not a giant spider. He really wanted make us aware of that.
Well, I'm headed out to find that cave right after we're done recording the show.
Either way, his check cleared, so I think we're fine.
I didn't even consider that he might be a giant spider. I don't know where that came from.
I don't think we actually said much about it on the show, but we were nominated for the Kent Carney Award this year.
Oh, man.
Sean, you want to give some backstory about that award show?
Sure. So this was the 9th annual Kent Carney Awards for Comedic Excellence, and it's essentially an award show in Louisville, Kentucky, to honor comedians and comedic actors and improvisers and anyone who has anything to do with comedy in the city of Louisville, Kentucky. And it's gotten bigger and better every single year. And I've been involved with it, you know, for a number of years now. I've won some carnies. I've presented carnies. And this year I was asked to present a carny award for best ensemble. And mm-hmm. our podcast here was also nominated for best podcast / online presence. That's the setup, I guess.
And, you know, it's I thought I was kind of tickled that we were nominated for any kind of award, our little show here. But I did not have any intention of driving down for them. And neither did Mike. So we had the brilliant idea that Sean graciously agreed to, that Mike and I would write any speeches that Sean would have to give for him, place them in sealed envelopes, and Sean would not be allowed to look at them until he had to give one.
Yeah.
And Sean, to make sure that he had to give a speech, a proper speech, you secured permission to give a concession speech at the awards if we lost.
That's correct. I thought that would be a funny thing to do.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Boy, were you wrong.
It's funny to us. Sean, is there anything you want to say before we go to the tape?
I mean, we did have, I feel it's important to mention that we did have a discussion. I ultimately left it up to you guys, but we did have a discussion about whether or not it would be better / funnier, whatever criteria you want to use, for me to divulge to the audience that I was being, you know, made to read something that I did not write versus presenting it as something that I had written. So I don't know if you two want to comment on that process to decide how that went down.
Well, we elected to write some speeches that were not
absolutely butt-fucking insane.
Not conventional, and thought that the better choice ultimately would be to have you deliver something ridiculous to an audience that had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Believing that it was actually your speech, because I just wanted a real reaction from the audience in that scenario.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, mostly for the benefit of this show.
Yeah, I was mostly concerned with the entertainment of ourselves and the listeners of this podcast, and not at all the people in the room at the event.
All right. Well, my beautiful wife did the honor of recording this really horrible moment in my life.
Sean, it was horrible because we lost, right? We did not win the award. That's why it was horrible.
I didn't give a fuck about that. It was. This is the thing, is we've talked previously on this podcast about how much joy it brings me to get up on stage in front of people and make people laugh and to bring joy to people. And
you're
this
about
was
to bring me a lot of joy.
Also, this was me bringing a lot of confusion to a lot of people, and to myself, it was just eating shit on stage for a number of minutes. You know, you work really hard as a comedian to
can we just watch it, please?
Eat shit on stage.
Yeah, you
I'm gonna
can,
press
you
play.
Can, you
I,
can yell
I,
at us
I,
after.
I'm gonna, let me count down. Let me count down to the play, and I might not be able to watch it because I don't know that I can relive it.
All right.
So I'll press play. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Well, how is everybody? Many of you, probably 5 or 6 of you, have heard my podcast, A Little Nonsense. Yeah! Yes, we were mentioned earlier in the show.
I like
the,
that blazer.
Category that we lost.
It's a very smart blazer.
And I prepared a brief concession speech.
Yeah, people love the idea.
Yeah.
concession speech.
Not winning this prestigious award is like a dry-fisted hand job. It doesn't feel good, but it was nice to have been considered at all.
Starting strong.
Please,
right.
Stop undressing me with your eyes.
Now it gets weird.
Make you stop and think for once in your goddamn life, what exactly is the difference between sweet potatoes and yams anyway? Well, they're both basically dirt apples. I think it's time to get sexy up in here. Real sexy. We're all gonna fuck. Begin. And while it never feels good to be defeated, these losses are how we as people grow. And a little nonsense will continue to grow, change, and improve. Until the day the internet becomes sentient and enslaves us all, it kills us. Sometimes my mouth tastes like glass, purple glass. I want to thank you for being considered for the position of Secretary of State. And wish you well in all your past and future dealings with former football player turned actor Terry Crews. Good night, Miami. You'll rue the day you brought me. And now my remarks for the best ensemble.
Oh, God.
The Random House Unabridged Dictionary defines an ensemble as a set of furniture. You all remember the show Blossom? Or are you guys too young? Whatever happened to Joey Lawrence? Now that's comedy. Joey Lawrence is hands down my favorite actor. According to the IMDb page, he's still acting here and there. He was a recurring on Hawaii 5-0 for a while. Is that a good show? Can I watch that? The guy from Ocean's 11 is in it. I like that guy. Charisma. Smell my fingers. Smell all of my fingers. It says on this paper. And the nominees are...
Oh, God.
So yeah, the first speech, which was the concession speech, you know, I had a lot of goodwill saved up. The MC who brought me up, he was talking me up. He was like, this next guy is so talented, so funny. He's a good friend of mine, you know. And so I went up there and people were excited and people knew me and they were like, oh, this is going to be funny. And so it started off kind of funny. And that the whole rest of that part was okay.
Yeah, that was the setup, just to lure people in. False sense of security.
Yeah, it was okay, but it was definitely people were like, this is kind of weird. Like, this isn't, you know, Sean doesn't usually do comedy like this. People were kind of getting a little weird. And then, you know, I don't normally ask people, entire groups of people to fuck, for instance.
You don't? That's not a normal thing for you to do?
No, not anymore. And so, yeah, oh, when God. It came time to the ensemble remarks, just the whole, like, Joey Lawrence, and, like, Hawaii 5-0, I was just, the room was so quiet. That video doesn't do it justice. The room was so quiet.
I had no idea you were going to do those back-to-back. That was a terrible idea.
What happened was, I was going to do the concession speech, you know, right after the winner of that category.
Yes.
But the host immediately went to the next person, and the next person. And so I was like, all right, you know what, I'll just do both of them at the same time. What do I have to lose? If I go up there and bomb once, then an hour later I get back on stage and bomb again, that's going to be terrible.
That does make sense.
Let's just do it all at the same time.
Yeah, get all of the bad out of the way.
I thought it was actually really funny.
Yeah, I know you did.
I was laughing so hard my head hurts now.
Good.
Oh, what did you think about the victory speech? I want your opinion on that.
So after we lost the category, I immediately ripped open the victory envelope that you guys sent me because I wanted to know kind of what would be in store. I guess you could kind of say
not at all the same.
Nope.
Well, you could kind of say that it was cheating, but I was like, I'm not going to look at the other two envelopes, but I want to at least see what one of the three looks like. So I started reading it, and there was a whole lot of like stage direction.
Yep.
And there was a whole lot of cultural appropriation and nonsense and like gibberish and me, you know, being like a heena her and a ha, like doing like these weird things. And it honestly, I read it.
Did it make you panic?
It made me laugh out loud.
That's good.
As I was reading it, I was like, God, this is actually really funny, but also thank God I don't have to do this in front of these people. You know, these are my friends and my peers, and then also a lot of people that have seen me in other capacities where maybe they've seen me like do an 8-minute set on a roast show or they saw me, you know, whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, like he's, you know, I'm in their peripheral. Like I, they know kind of who I am, but maybe they don't know all of who I am. So this was like a really, I just felt very vulnerable up there.
You never should have agreed to do this, Sean. That's the, no.
well, here's the thing.
If you really think that didn't go that well, which I think it actually went fine.
Uh-huh. I think so too.
Nobody cares or remembers that.
No,
any of the things that you're concerned about. So we did the greater good here.
What I was hoping was that how I really felt about it, and watching this video, I'll admit this was funnier watching it now than I thought it would be. I thought I would not be able to watch it because the first couple of times I tried to watch it, it was so cringe inducing I couldn't even get through it. but the way that I felt immediately afterwards and for a couple of days was that it was a missed opportunity. I felt like you guys could have either, you know, made me into this really pompous like thing where the audience is not in on it, but it's still funny. Or you could, you know, or if I told the audience I had to read it, then the ridiculous randomness is really funny because they know that I just have to read this nonsense. Like, I felt like it could have been constructed in a way that was way funnier for the crowd that night. And so that was the struggle that I've had with it, is that I've always operated, you know, my entire like mission as a performer is to try and kill that room that night. You know, I'm not performing for like a subgroup off in the wings. I'm performing for the fucking people who are watching the stage, you know, who are right there. So it was just I told Catherine, like, I was so much more nervous doing this stuff before, like, I got on stage to do it than I've ever been for anything where I've written and prepared my own material. Because that stuff is like, I stand behind it. Even if I bomb with it, I know that I worked on it and I kind of believe in it. So it's like, I'll deal with that. But this stuff, I was like, holy shit. Like, if I'm bombing, it's not my fault, but I still have to do it anyway. it was way harder mentally to like grapple with.
Well, you're forgetting something very important. And that is that this is the room right here, right now.
And so I hope that our listeners find it as funny as you guys did. That's, yeah.
No one will ever find that as funny as I did. That's impossible. But I hope they come close.
Yeah. Huh.
But just for fun, and just to like clear the air, why don't you read the victory speech right now?
I would like to, but I don't know where I put the physical sheet of paper.
Oh, that's okay. I'll just copy and paste it to you.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, if you send it to me, I'll read it right now.
Some of it works better in an actual room, but it should be fine.
I can read the stage directions.
Yeah, just read the stage directions. So that our listeners can get
a... Yeah.
All right. Coming at you in G-Chat, Sean.
All right. Here we go. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Point to a person I don't know. You. Thank you. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It's like something I was told a while back about this thing a wise Welsh man once told someone else. E chuta ni be me how ni how be tu. Chow now fat me na. Nod slowly, looking around. You know, I haven't always been so lucky. There was a time when, like most of you, I was pathetic and horrible. And that's when I turned to Mighty Odin. Point up and lower your head, shaking it. Nala mala gula. Counting off on my fingers, Leonardo da Vinci, Kanye West, Mr. Rogers, Larry David, and the 1997 Utah Jazz. Think deeply, squinting. French fries are unfrozen potato shards dipped in oil.
Oil!
Bring wood and oil, another wise man once said, before he leapt from a cliff, fully on fire, to his demise. But that's life. Such is life. C'est la vie, as all of the super wise people say. So that's why I say, thank you. Graciendas. Bow repeatedly. China mi hao, long dao. That's Welsh. Means espionage horse. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to do that in front of all those people. I mean, this is a packed room. We're not talking about like a 25 to 30 person crowd. This is like a 200 person event.
Yeah, it's a big crowd.
And friends of friends and comedians' friends are all coming, and some of them have never seen me before, and that was their first impression.
I'm really sad that you didn't have to do that one. That would have been... Is it because of the Chinese Welsh?
Is what because of the Chinese Welsh?
And that's why you didn't want to do it, because of the Chinese Welsh.
No, I feel like that one would... Okay, so if we break down the speeches, right? If we go in order, the concession speech, that was like 80% something that I could have written. You know what I mean? Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like... So crazy, like, is Sean having a stroke? You know what I mean? So that's why people were kind of with me, and I was able to kind of sell it. Even the stuff, even the shit about, like, you know, it tastes like glass, purple glass. You know, it's like, it still kind of is okay or whatever. And then the speech, the ensemble remarks, though, are so, like, wait, Sean doesn't do this stuff. You know, it was so, like, different from what I usually do, and also... It wasn't like written to be funny. It was written to be random and embarrassing. And like, yeah, Joey Lawrence is hands down my favorite actor. You know, like, that's not funny enough to be done as a stand-up.
Did anybody take you seriously when you said that? I mean,
no, but the nobody thought it was funny, Mike. that's the problem. Is if people knew that I was being forced to say these things, that line in particular would have been really funny. I'm being on record saying Joey Lawrence is my favorite actor, but nobody having any context, and it's just me up there just being like, have you guys seen that show? Is it good? Should I watch it? Well, that's so weird.
I congratulate you then for doing as we asked you to do, because...
I mean, I wanted to do it. I wanted to do something different.
Yeah.
I wanted to try something crazy, and now I know better. I'm gonna come back for the 10th. Yeah. I'm going to come back. Carney's 10, and I'm going to fucking destroy. I'm going to write some really funny shit. And just remind people that I'm actually funny.
Oh yeah, you're never if you guys, getting invited again to another Carney's. Sorry.
Oh no. No, if you guys come down for Carney's 10, then we can do a concession speech together.
How did you even get nominated for this thing when 6 people from Louisville listened to our show?
Well, like I said, I used to be fairly influential in the Louisville comedy scene.
Yeah, prior to this award show.
Just not influential enough to get any of the 200 people watching the awards show to listen to our podcast.
Well, they're certainly not going to now. I'm
sorry. You know, I've won like 5 Carney Awards, okay?
Except this one.
Some of these people, most of the people there probably never even heard of my podcast. So this was their only impression of me. I'm sure they're going to start listening now. I'm sure I really won them over.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, after that speech, who wouldn't?
God damn.
You demanded that they fuck. I'd want to listen to you. I largely gave myself that point because...
You should both get points for writing that shit.
Well, you know, I wrote the lion's share of the concession speech, and Mike wrote the lion's share of the victory speech.
Yeah.
And then we just made little tweaks to each other's shit.
Yeah, those were the two funnier speeches. So I don't know who's to blame for the ensemble remarks.
Actually, that was about 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then you should both get a point.
Yeah, I originally threw out the Joey Lawrence thing, but then Mike was fully on board and we had a good time.
I thought that was really funny. I'm sorry. I still do. I still think it's really funny.
Good Lord.
Oh, God. All right. You know what? How about a game, Sean? How about a game?
Yeah. How about one? I'm gonna pitch you two against each other.
All right.
With an impossible science quiz.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. And what is this impossible science quiz brought to us by, Mike?
Dave Sharkowski was an ordinary man with an ordinary life, working an ordinary job at the local shark factory. Until one ordinary day when he tripped over a barricade and fell into a vat of perfectly ordinary radioactive shark juice, becoming a serial rapist?
God!
Dave Sharkowski, serial rapist.
Jesus Christ.
Thursdays at 9 on True TV.
Oh, God.
Whew.
Back to you, Sean.
Yeah, all right. Well, gentlemen, I have what I'm calling an impossible science quiz. I have before me 10 pretty tough, interesting science questions.
All right.
At least for me, they would be, or they were when I was researching them. I feel they'll be the same to you. It's a combination of Buzz In Live, which I'll send you the code right now to join that little thing. Combination of buzz-in answers, and then there will also be some numerical answers or responses where a point will be awarded to the person who gets the answer closest to the correct answer.
Oh, all right.
I got one person. It looks like Professor Butt is here.
Thank you.
And Phloem.
That's me. Yeah.
Yep, sure is. All right. So, we're going to get started here. Question number one is a buzz-in question. I'm going to award 1 point per question. If you buzz in and get it wrong, then the other person will have a chance to steal and earn that point.
All right.
All right, here we go. Buzz-in question number one. An earthquake that measures 8 on the Richter scale would be how many times stronger than an earthquake that measures 4 on the Richter scale? All right, it looks like a Phloem.
I'm going to go ahead and say 400.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Professor Butt.
I honestly don't know how that scale works, so I will say 4 times greater.
I'm sorry, that's also incorrect.
All right.
The Richter scale is logarithmic, which means that each successive whole number represents a tenfold increase in power. Thus, an earthquake that measures 8 would be 10,000 times stronger than an earthquake that measures 4. So 10,000 was the answer.
Yeah, I was just doing the linear 10 times per whole number times, you know. Actually, right. That wouldn't make any sense. That would just be 40. Yeah, be 40.
So we are currently Mike 0, Joe 0.
Lovely.
As we move on to question number 2, this is a Hangouts question. So you're going to type and send in your answer directly to me, and whoever gets closest to the correct answer will receive the point. What is a hummingbird's heart rate in beats per minute? I've received both answers. All right. On the count of 3, I want whoever put this answer to say their name. 1, 2, 3. 320.
Professor Butts.
Phloem.
Yeah, you both guessed 320 beats per minute.
Are you kidding me?
No, what a weird number for you to both guess.
That's fucked up, Joe.
We are That's completely in sync.
You guys are.
How do you deal with that? That's never happened.
That is really crazy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you both that you are horribly wrong.
Fair
enough. And I'm going to give you a second opportunity, both of you, to send me a number and see if we can get someone closer. So go ahead and take a few seconds here. Send me another number. How many beats per minute is a hummingbird's heart rate?
That was horribly wrong, really.
If you both send me the same number again, then I'm going to shit my pants.
And the show ends and both of us win.
So Joe had the right idea, but got a little overzealous. Joe, your answer was 3,200 beats per minute.
That's correct.
Mike, your answer was 200 beats per minute.
Hey, which is obviously too low, but...
So Joe went higher, Mike went lower. The correct answer is 1,260 beats per minute, which means that Mike is actually closer.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's
holy
funny.
Shit, can we take a second to try and fathom that? A human is roughly 75, 80 beats per minute.
Yeah, so it's like...
a healthy human.
That's a hummingbird's heart. Wait, Mike, what was that sound again of a hummingbird's heart? I can't even wrap my head around that. That's so crazy. All right. So Mike gets a point.
Somehow, we move on. Yes. We were both horribly wrong. This is similar to impossible trivia.
Well, it's called Impossible Science Quiz.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Yeah.
True.
It's exactly the same game, but with science.
So we're going to move now to question number 3. It's a Hangouts question, just like the last one. And it's also about hummingbirds. How fast can a hummingbird flap its wings? And we're talking about flaps per second.
Flaps per second.
How many flaps per second can a hummingbird flap its wings? I have an answer from Joe.
Please call me by my title, Professor Butt.
Professor Butt has responded with an FPS. I appreciate that label. So has Phloem. So, let's see. Professor Butt.
Yes.
What was your answer?
I have chosen a theme, and I have selected 320 flaps per second.
And Phloem, your answer?
77.
The correct answer is 80.
Oh, that's so close.
Phloem got remarkably close. He was only 3 flaps per second off. Now,
I mean,
Mike,
for not knowing dick about hummingbirds, that was dead on.
Mike, what does 80 flaps per second sound like?
I can't even do that. That's...
I believe it sounds like...
Much, much faster. Much faster than that.
Nope. Yeah.
Impossible to do.
It's impossible. Yeah.
Yep. That's more like it. It's just a tone. Right. Yeah.
So Mike leads 2-0 after 3 questions. We move now.
I'm getting crushed.
We have another Hangouts question here.
Gertin cursed.
You know, traditionally in the Impossible series, you go back and forth. Just saying, Sean.
Well, you know, I was lazy. This next question. What percentage of the cells in your body are bacteria?
Percentage.
All right, we have our answer from Phloem. And Professor Butt has also chimed in. Phloem responded with 4%. Professor Butt, 32%.
Wow.
I believe it's 32.0%.
He's sticking with the theme.
I'm sticking with the theme that has done nothing but fail me.
You are more bacteria than you are you.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Oh, it's because they're so much smaller. That's why.
The average human body is made up of 90% bacteria. and only 10% human cells.
That's
because of their small size, however, microorganisms make up only about 1-3% of the body's mass.
That's what I was going for right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're wrong. I'm right.
No, it's the cells. We're the counting
the
cells.
Of
the
cells.
Percentage of
yeah.
The percentage of cells, yeah.
Yeah, that's a shitty question.
Finally on the board.
We are now 2-1, Mike. Joe is back in the game.
Yeah.
I did think, I feel like it was a missed opportunity if I were to, make the first question about hummingbirds, then the second question, and then just make the entire thing about hummingbirds. It's a real missed opportunity. All right, so our next question is another Hangouts question.
You lazy shit.
The rest of them are just Hangouts questions.
This Hangouts question, how long does it take an individual blood cell to make a complete circuit of the human body?
Oh.
How long does it take for an individual blood cell to make a complete circuit of the human body?
In seconds?
Yeah, sure. Let's go seconds. I have my answer from Professor Butt.
Thank you.
Floam has his guess. The average person has about 5 liters of blood, and the average heart pumps about 70 milliliters of blood with each beat. If your heart rate is around 70 beats per minute, you will pump about 5 liters of blood in 1 minute, which is roughly your entire blood supply. So an individual blood cell should make a complete circuit of the body at least once every 60 seconds or so.
Flum's guess of 93 seconds,
93
which I can
seconds
see.
Is correct, well, or is more correct than Professor Butt's guess of 320 seconds.
Doubling down on the 320.
On the 320. What's the significance, Joe? Might I inquire?
You may inquire, but I could not give you a satisfactory answer. It just amuses me to do so.
Fair enough. So we move now to question number 6. This next question is a Hangouts question. How many miles of blood vessels are there in the human body?
Oh, Jesus.
If you took every blood vessel in the human body and attached it end to end and laid it out in a straight line, how many miles of blood vessels are there in the human body? All right, we have Floam's response. All right, now we have Professor Butt's guess here. I'm going to go ahead and read you the answer. If you took all the blood vessels out of an average adult and laid them out in a line, it would stretch...
93 seconds.
It would stretch about 100,000 miles.
Holy shit.
I'm guessing that I got this one wrong based on Joe's history.
Well, Floam, what did you guess?
2.3 miles.
Miles, yes. And
couldn't
Professor
even go
Butts,
3.20, huh?
And Professor Butt's answer was, and I quote, 1 mile. Just kidding. 3,200 miles.
Well, there you go. If Professor Joe ends up Butt, winning this game using a theme answer...
So Professor Butt wins with another...
You can get away with in a lock-in game.
All right, we move to question 7. This is a buzz-in question, gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
What has the highest atomic number of any non-radioactive element?
Non-radioactive.
What has the highest atomic number of any non-radioactive element? Ooh, we've got Floam... What do you got for me, Floam?
I'm going to say lead.
Lead is correct.
Oh.
Lead has the highest atomic number of any non-radioactive element, although the next higher element, bismuth, has one isotope with a half-life that is long enough over 1 billion times the estimated age of the universe, to be considered stable for all practical purposes. But lead is the correct answer. So, Mike, that is his fourth point.
Well done,
sir.
Floam.
I have some, yeah, I have seriously. Some pretty good knowledge of the periodic table.
I'll say. Nobody knows that much about lead. I'm not a lead doctor. Question number 8.
I am. I should have done better.
Professor Butt got his doctorate in lead studies.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 8 is a buzz-in question.
I'm a PBD.
PBD.
Buzz-in question. I'm going to go ahead and reset all buzzers here. Question number 8. What is the largest moon in our solar system? Oh, we got a quick trigger from Flome, followed by Professor Butt. Flome, what's the biggest moon in our solar system?
Ganymede.
That is correct.
Damn it!
Ganymede. Let's see this. Joe, can you tell me what planet Ganymede revolves around?
Jupiter.
That's correct. And it's the only moon known to have what?
Prostitutes.
Bigness.
I thought that was Uranus, Joe. Bigness?
It's
is
got
that
the most bigness.
They don't charge on Uranus, Sean.
A lot of people would say Titan for that question.
Right.
Which is incorrect.
No,
Ganymede is the largest moon and the only moon known to have a magnetic field.
I did not know that. Now I do.
Now you do. So Mike leads 5-2. We move on to question number 9. The very last question, by the way, is going to be worth 3 points.
Great.
Is this a new rule? Or
it's going to be worth as many points as I need it to make this interesting. question number 9 is a buzz-in question, so I'll reset all buzzers here. Number 9, on what planet is a year shorter than a day? You both buzzed so quickly. I'm so surprised. Professor Butt.
Yeah, it's Venus, bitch.
Well, no need to call me a bitch, but you are correct. Venus
just rotates
has the
very slowly.
Longest rotation period, 243 Earth days. It orbits the sun every 224 Earth days, so one Venus day is nearly 20 Earth days longer than its year. That's crazy.
That's right, bitch.
Very hot.
It spins so slow. 5-3. This last question's worth 3 points. So if Joe gets it, he will win 6-5. If Mike gets
it, God damn it,
it'll be 8-3. Question number 10 is a hangouts question. So be prepared to lock in your answers. The planets in our solar system make up what percentage of the mass in our solar system?
Hold on, I just have to format it so I can keep the bet.
I want to commend you both for thinking correctly that it is a really low percentage. I'm sure either of you could tell me why it's a low percentage.
Because the sun's fucking huge.
And the Kuiper massive. Belt and the asteroid belt are also very massive.
Yeah,
and the moons and everything except for the planets makes up the vast majority of the solar system.
Professor Butt guessed 0.320%. Keeping the bit alive. Congratulations.
Thank you.
However.
Oh, no.
Flome was a little bit closer with his guess of 0.01% of the mass. The planets make up 0.135% of the mass in our solar system. That's
barely
Son
closer.
Of a bitch.
Barely closer.
The sun accounts for 99.86%
yes.
of the entire solar system's mass.
It's big. Yeah.
Other factors, dense. Including satellites and comets, make up roughly 0.00007%. So, Mike is going to win this game, 8-3. Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
Just for shits and giggles, I had a tiebreaker question. I'm curious to see if you guys can name it. And I'm going to put a time limit on this one, because I think you could suss it out if given enough time. I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
All right.
What are the only two planets in our solar system without moons? Go. Joe was correct. Mike was not.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The correct answer is Mercury and Venus.
Yeah, I was wrong with the Neptune.
Neptune does have moons.
I thought after the fact of Mercury. I don't know why that came so late, but...
Well, hey, well done, gentlemen. It's safe to say that both of you did better than I would have had I been subjected to such an impossible science quiz. So congratulations to
you
both.
You.
Unfortunately, Mike is the winner, and Joe, you now must die.
Well, I'm pretty sure that whatever weird disease I've got is taking care of that anyway.
The Costa Rican ass crab.
Yeah, the ass cram is currently dissolving my internal organs. So Mike has been awarded the negative point, and that is our episode. With a score of 1, I am this week's loser.
Socle bleu.
Yep.
That's our episode. I've been Joe Moracle.
I've been Grandpa Joe.
And I'm Mike Pareto. Hi.
Charlie!
Charlie!
A chocolate factory!
Have a great week.
I can walk now!
Fuck you, boy!
A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here and there is often very necessary. Mingle a little folly with your wisdom and you could be jolly. A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men.